Hi, this is Mike Swanson. You're listening to the Wall Street Window Weekly Podcast that we're going to release every Friday after the close. And for our first one, I've got who else but Dave Skirica. And Dave and I last spoke in December and did a recording back then for everybody. And at the time, we were very bullish on gold. It was like, I think, the first couple of days of December. And what's happened, though, is, of course, gold has had a sharp pullback after the past couple of weeks. But shortly after we did that podcast, I actually sold out of my gold stocks. And then Dave gave a sell signal and a warning that he saw a correction coming almost the day or so before there was a peak in the junior mining gold stock index. So that's the reason why I think, you know, the podcasts are good and important to follow and listen to get our ideas what's going on. But it's not really a substitute for subscribing to our premium services, because that's where you're going to really see what we're thinking and where our views are changing, because these are very dynamic markets. So I'll just like to jump right into it and ask you, what do you think about gold stocks right now after we've seen them drop so much?
What happened is, I actually checked, and it was mid-December. It was December about 14th we were on, and like where we talked about that. And yeah, what I did is I have something in my pay service called Market Alerts. And because sometimes, like you say, because there are dynamic markets and things are very volatile, I don't have time to put together a whole email alert with a million charts. So it's just when I see something occurring. And what I did in mid-December, or actually I think I actually did it in late November, early December, was it was essentially the day before the market peaked in gold stocks, so the day that HUI hit, the day before it hit 516, I said that, look, these gold stocks are going to correct and you want to sell some off the table. So the way I'm playing the gold to take some money off the table, the gold bull market, is I have this long-term position that some of these stocks I've owned for 5, 7, 8 years, and I won't sell that until gold, I think, has bottomed, which I think will be 5 to 10 years from now. Like, it will be in like around 2015. And then I will have a trading position within the context of that, because when you get the big corrections like you had in 2008 or crashes in gold stocks, then you want to take advantage of that. And then you get these spikes, and gold stocks are the most volatile stocks in the world. Like, I did a study on it just going back to 2007, and I found over those 3 years, 07, 08, 09, you had something on average like 3 to 4 corrections of 20% or greater a year. And the stock market, for example, only has a move of 20% or more on average once every 6 years in its history. So that just tells you how volatile these stocks are. So what I like to do is sell into the strength and then buy in the weakness. So a few days after we did our article, sold out, but I was looking for a short-term rally. So I actually told people to buy at about 420 in the HUI, and it rallied to over 460. And the way I play it is I don't try to time the exact bottom or top. Is that I made a comment recently that if the HUI, you know, gets around 400, which it hit today as we're doing this podcast, you know, buy a little more then. And then if ultimately we have one more decline lower to 350 or 340 or something along those lines, again, you'll want to, you know, buy at those levels as well. So that's kind of the way I played. Is you sell a little bit on the rallies, you know, like when gold stocks went up in October, went up in early December, and then you buy a little bit at a time on the declines. Because the problem you get is when you're buying the declines, you don't know, is this one of the 10% corrections? Is this one of the 20% corrections? Is this something like a year or two ago, you know, where they ended up falling 60-70%? So that's why I just kind of edge in and edge out in my trading position. And a quick note on the action right now, I think we're going to see a short-term bounce, because the HUI was down about 7 points today at the open, and it's actually turned up a little bit here as we're speaking. So if you kind of like started down a couple percent and then we end up slightly up in the gold stocks today, that looks like a short-term reversal to me, and that could launch a little bit of a bounce here. And I guess we'd have to see if it ends up being a more major, you know, like rally, or if there's still one more leg lower.
Well, I was going to. I agree with you right there, because one thing that was making me get worried about the gold stocks, and all this year really I've been telling people to wait, don't buy them, is that the stocks are lagging the metal. When you have corrections, what tends to happen is the stocks will fall at a much faster percentage rate than the metal does.
Yeah.
But then once you get towards the end of a correction, that stops happening. And today, for instance, yesterday, I think the gold stocks are down 4% and the metal wasn't down, you know, half that. Well, today, right before we started talking, and it's 10:45 right now, the gold stocks were down a little bit less than the metal. And now the HUI is up and the metal is down 0.5%. So that definitely looks like a good sign that we'll get the bounce that you were just looking for around the 400 level on the HUI. Now, the thing is, if you look back, I think the past year, whenever this kind of happened during the corrections, that would mark a major bottom, and then you'd see the gold stocks making new highs within a month or so. But this time, I'm a little skeptical that that's going to immediately happen, because they broke a trend line that goes back, a support trend line going back to October. And I also don't think the broad market correction's over yet either.
We'll see. So
I suspect we'll get a bounce, then one more move down, and that would
probably... The only thing with the broad market is I really believe at some point they're going to disconnect to the broad market. I think that this whole thing where the gold stocks have traded with the broad market has really only been in effect since the crash in mid-2008. And it was actually, if you actually look at it, they've only really traded with the broad market for those few months where everything crashed and they went down, you know, from the summer of 2008 to the fall. Because when the broad market made new lows in 2009, the gold stocks were actually well off the 2008 lows. And then this time around, you know, the gold stocks peaked in early December and the broad market actually has kept rallying until about, you know, until early this week. So they've been in a disconnect for, you know, the last month or so. So I think at some point they're going to really start to disconnect from the broad market. And the thing is, as long as the broad market, you know, when you have days like yesterday when the market's down over 200 points, gold stocks can get sucked down by that. But as long as the broad market's next decline is more, I guess you could say, like orderly, like if it's just, you know, down a couple percent, then it rallies and it falls again, rather than a complete crash, I think the gold stocks can actually rally in that kind of environment. And again, this whole thing where the dollar goes up and the broad market goes down, which is seen as bad for gold, I think there's going to be a disconnect in that, because I think the next big crisis is the debt crisis, and like the, you know, like the U.S. government's going to have trouble funding itself, and in that scenario the dollar goes down and the market goes down with that. So that's kind of what I'm looking for. At some point this is going to disconnect. And again, if you look at the last 10 years in the long run, gold stocks go opposite to the market. The last 10 years, the stock market's gone down, and gold stocks are up, you know, 700-800%. So, like, in the long run, they actually are a hedge against the market. But again, we've kind of seen this like thing where they're trading together. But I don't think that's a long-term phenomenon. I think just what happened is a lot of hedge funds got into gold stocks in 2007, 2006, and then they had to dump them with everything else in 2008. And now that they're kind of cleared out, I think you can start this kind of disconnect. And remember, one reason that we're seeing the U.S. dollar rally here is because everyone's worried about the pigs, you know, the Portugal, Italy, Ireland, Greece, and Spain about defaults. Well, that causes the U.S. dollar to rally because that weakens the euro. And then, you know, gold's going down on that. But at some point, people are going to realize, even if the U.S. dollar rallies on that news, well, the reason the U.S. dollar is rallying is not because the U.S. dollar is strong. It's because the euro has some real problems with these defaults. And if we're in default mode for, you know, sovereign debt, well, we don't want to go into another currency to protect ourselves against that. We want to go into gold because gold can't default. So in that scenario where if you did get these government defaults, I think gold would benefit from that even if the U.S. dollar is going up, because the U.S. dollar is not going up because U.S. dollar strength. It's going up because, you know, all these European countries are weak. So, you know, that's kind of where I think at some point there's a disconnect. And just to talk about what I write about in my newsletter, like right now I'm talking about gold, and I'm talking about that if we don't break out, say we don't bottom right here and gold stocks will start moving to new highs in the next month or two, it looks more likely this is like 2005, and all these charts to back it up. But what happened in 2005 is in December 2004, gold, or November 2004, gold broke out like it kind of did in the fourth quarter of 2009. But then it kind of pulled back, and the stocks pulled back until, you know, the spring of 2005. And then everything based and really broke out later in the year. So if we don't bottom here and start going up immediately in gold stocks, and I mean immediately over the next month, it looks more likely that, yeah, we're going to see this kind of basing going on, you know, for the next few months, and then we'll move up later in the year. And an interesting note, the dollar was extremely strong in 2005, just like it's strong now. But over the second half of 2005, gold and gold stocks still rallied, despite the dollar being strong.
Yeah, that's my suspicion for the whole market, is that the whole U.S. market, is that this is going to basically be an eighth-month sideways phase. We've seen the peak of the of this range, a sideways consolidation range. We've seen the peak of it just last week, and we're heading now to a new support level probably in February. But in that kind of pattern, I would expect some sectors and markets to dramatically outperform the U.S., and commodities could be one of them, and in China and Asian gold, I think those are the most likely candidates for that. But as we wrap up, do you have any last thoughts?
No, my thing is here is like I have a little bit of a different perspective than you in the way I trade, in that I don't like I know you're just talking about how you're like a little more bearish than me. So my opinion is in the gold stocks, and you have to be very adamant, because I had people writing me, you know, when the first drop happened in December and then margin calls and all this sort of thing. A, these stocks are really volatile, so don't buy them a margin. And B, don't try to think that you can time things exactly. When the spikes happen, like the spike happened in November, sell a bit into it. If you would have sold a 460 in the HUI, yeah, it went to over 500, but now it's below that. And don't think, again, you can time the bottom exactly. So again, like here at 400, maybe pick away at it. And if you do get another drop to, say, 340, 350, 360, look at buying a little more then. And secondly, I agree with you on the market. I think that the market over the next few weeks here can make its first initial kind of low and rally back up. But I've been talking about in my newsletter that 2010 looks to me like a lot like 2000 or 1976. And 2009 looked like 75, and what happened 75 after the bottom in 74? 75 was a really strong year higher, just like 2009 was. In 76, the market kind of trended sideways to slightly upwards over the first half of 2000 or 76, and topped, and then started rolling over into 77. So I agree with you. I actually don't see this decline that we're in now as the start of this huge decline. I see it more of the start of this kind of like you talked about, this topping pattern or sideways pattern. And then I kind of see the market maybe falling starting later in the year or mid-year into next year, when it's apparent that we're not going to get this, you know, economic recovery. And I think it will be different factors in this next decline, that it won't be a financial crisis, but rather you're going to see at some point interest rates start to move up and all this sort of thing because of all the debt being issued. And that will be the factors behind the next decline in the market. So yeah, basically I'm saying that gold stocks are in a correction, but look to buy in these little dips. And I think that the market in the short term, like the next week or two, could find probably a short-term bottom and rally as well. Oh, and then, you know, spend the next few months topping out, essentially.
Well, that sounds good. But yeah, I'm not sure if it's going to, you know, I don't think this is the start of a new bear market or anything. Just, you know, like you're comparing it to the year in the 70s, something similar to that, or 2004 or something. But if people want to get in touch with you or get some of your free information, how or sign up for your premium service, how'd they do that?
If you go to addictedtoprofits.net, we have a free e-letter, and I post interviews such as these and, you know, the odd update. And it's not a free trial. It's actually just a watered down free version of the newsletter, and I post something every week to 2 weeks. And then if you're interested by signing up for that free letter, my letter is usually $700 a year, but as a member of the free letter, you get access to our discount of $350 a year. And actually, I'm going to be having I have a couple other services that I'm starting up over the next few months. And we're going to have a special like one-time offer where you can get all of these services for that $350 price. There's three of them. And we'll tell you more about that probably in about 2 to 3 weeks' time. So if you sign up now, you'll have access for that.
Okay.
Offer as well.
Well, thanks, and we'll talk to you later. Okay, I've got Andy Emerson on the line now. For those of you who don't know, Andy writes in the private section of the website, in the member section, and me and him have been trading together now for over 10 years. In fact, we co-managed a hedge fund together for a couple years, which he is still managing, and we talk about the stock market together all the time. In fact, you were telling me, I think 2 weeks ago, that you had sold out of all of your positions and went into cash because you were expecting a correction in the stock market. How do you feel now? Do you still think the market's going to go lower, or do you think now's the time to start buying?
You know, Mike, there's no guarantees that the market's going to fall anymore. But, you know, the market just broke out of about a two-month consolidation period back in the latter part of December. And now the market, just in 2 days, the market has now pulled back to the November-December lows. The Dow is setting right on the lows of November-December. Now, this is a great place for the market to put on some type of short-term oversold, bouncing off the 50-day moving average, the S&P. The Dow's broke the 50, but the S&P's right on the 50-day moving average, maybe a hair below it. But this is, you know, a logical place for the market to bounce. One, you're on the 50. Two, you're on the November-December support. So, you know, Trader Mike, I'm expecting to see some type of short-term bounce, but I'm still looking at the bigger picture. I think this market's getting ready to do a retest of the long-term moving averages, which are the 150-day moving average. So I believe the 150-day moving average on the S&P is around 1,050. So, and this could take 2-3 weeks, maybe a month. A lot of times the market likes to roll out, you know, over the course of several weeks, you know. And but, you know, at the same time, I'm not saying it's going to take 3-4 weeks. It could bounce here for 2-3 days and then just sell off really hard. But we'll just have to wait and see.
But you're pretty convinced that, let's say the market turns around Monday, goes up Monday, for a few days, you would be very skeptical that this would be the bottom?
Yeah, I'd be very skeptical of that, yes. Now, I think there are certain stocks that will do really well. There are stocks that are holding up. You know, you could run a scan right now on this pullback here back to the 50-day moving averages, which has typically been the support range of this whole move since the breakout in July. And you could find, you know, probably several hundred stocks that are holding up pretty decent. The problem is that on the last breakout, and we've discussed this on the website, you know, many times on the podcast and stuff, and you and I have discussed it a lot, that fewer and fewer stocks on this breakout were, you know, were leading the breakout. That just was throwing up red flags everywhere. And you're starting to, you know, we're starting to see a lot of stocks that, you know, were looking really good. They didn't break out with the market, and they're actually starting to break down into little mini bear markets already. So as far as the market charging forward now, I just don't see it. I see the market finally pulling back, which is probably needed, back to the long-term moving averages. Market will probably do some type of retest, and we're going to probably enter some type of consolidation phase, for which I know you've been talking about this on the website, anywhere from 3, 4 to 6, 10 months.
Well, last year we saw several corrections that would last for, you know, 3 to 5 days. There's one in October, I think one in August and November too, and they would do just about what we see now, but then they would stop and you'd see the market make new highs. You wouldn't really make new lows. What makes you convinced that this time will be a bigger correction than, let's say, the past couple we've had since August?
The odds are, the reason I believe that is going back to the part of when the market broke out a month ago. You only were seeing out of 100 stocks, and you'd see only 30 of them participate. We're back 2-3 months ago when the market would make new highs. If you had 300 stocks in position to break out, 295 of them would make new 52-week highs. So what you're seeing is, on this type of pullback, we're seeing more stocks break their November-December lows right now. Even though the market hasn't broke its support of November-December, If you run a scan and take a look at the stocks, there's a huge percentage of stocks that are below the November-December lows. Now, these stocks, even if the market bounces here and were to test the highs or even make new highs, those stocks are not going to make new highs. They're breaking down. These stocks are already near their 150 or on it or below it. And that's what's lagging. You know, it's like a big anchor, you know, being dropped behind the boat and you're trying to pull this big anchor along. It's not going to happen. And that's what causes the market to, you know, fall more here, quicker here, try to rally. And when the market tries to rally here, it's just too many stocks have too much overhead pressure. And that pressure's got to be worked off and sideways. That's your consolidation. And that's how I see the market going forward, probably for this entire year. It's going to be a tough year to make money.
Well, my thinking is that this is different than the past couple corrections. Because if you look back to last year, actually the last, since 2002, really, whenever the markets had a correction within a bull market or even in the bear markets we've had, the corrections would continue until you had a day in which there's lots of extreme selling and panic in the market, which you'd see with the put-to-call ratio being above one, the VIX would spike up. But then you'd also see the number of stocks decline on this panic day, which was represent a washout for the correction. 90% of the stocks would end up being down, and 90% of the volume would be to the downside too. And if you look at the, you know, last year, that happened in October on the day at bottom. It happened on that day where there was this news around Thanksgiving about the Dubai debt problem, and you just had a big panic day instead of a more extended correction, which at the time some people were looking for, but didn't happen. But in any case, in these all these corrections, you've seen these panic days occur, and we haven't seen that happen yet. In fact, today the put-to-call ratio is above one, which means people are buying us a little bit more puts than calls, which is the first time that's happened in this drop so far. But the volume figures, as I'm looking at them right now, it's 2 o'clock. The ratio is only 70%. I mean, it should be 90% to, in order to identify real panic in the market. So I think it's more likely, you know, if somehow we could see the Dow fall 200 points or more on Monday, there's a chance that could happen. But I think the odds would favor the market bouncing, you know, having a false, you know, a dead cat bounce on Monday, you know, could go on for a couple of days because, like you said, we're on this 50-day moving average and, you know, the 60-minute charts are oversold and, you know, people are thinking about trying to guess the bottom. And when corrections go on for a while, lots of people guess too early.
Yeah, most everybody gets in too early when trying to you know, guess a bottom. One thing I want to make real clear, Mike, is I'm not bearish on the market. I'm just on the short term here, I'm bearish on the market. I just don't think it's time. As this bull market has moved along over the last 10 months, let's say, the positions that you need to be in, the actual sectors are changing. And on this type of pullback that I think we're going to see here, we're going to get a chance to reevaluate and see where we need to be for the next year or two. Because I believe we're going to enter a consolidation phase. We might even break below the 150 a little bit, but that's not a bear market. That's just a consolidation phase. Now that could lead to a mini bear market, but we'd have to, you know, pull back here to the 150 or below it. We'd have to bounce real hard, and then we'd have to come back and completely break down, make new 52-week lows, probably on high volume, then rally back up to the 150, curling over. So we'll get to that later on, but I don't think that's where we're headed. I'm just the most important part here. Is, and I believe you agree with me here, is we got to evaluate the sectors in the market here when we pull back to the long-term moving averages, when we get a really nice sell-off like you're talking about, when you see the put, the call, the VIX, you see fear in the market, then we got to be able to look and say, okay, these are the sectors that have held up. These are the sectors, and these are the stocks within those sectors that are showing great relative strength. And we believe that if the market continues a bull, you know, it's bull run later this year or even the next year, these particular stocks and issues will probably perform really well.
are there any sectors you have in mind, or do you think we need to see this going for more, couple more weeks before you can get a feel for that?
You know, Mike, that's a good question. I'm really trying to be patient here, because when I start really studying stocks and charts, what happens is I'm just like everybody else. I always jump in a little early. I'm like, well, that's not dropping. That looks great. I might as well go and buy a few shares of that. And I don't believe the market. I believe the market could be near that, you know, completely oversold. It could be weeks, maybe 2-3 weeks. And this is a rule of thumb that has always worked for me. And I've written this down many times and said, Andy, never forget it. The stocks that are holding up and showing relative strength, 50% of them will give it up, so to speak, drop really hard the last 2-3 days when a market's pulling back. They're holding up, and I always buy a day or two too early. And then the stocks that held up normally give it up. You know, they can drop 10% in one day. But that's the bottom. That's that fear, that panic that you were talking about. And you see that enormous sell volume. You see that put to call go crazy. And people are actually at that point in time selling their best positions. And I'm the one who's actually, most of the time, I buy a day or two early. So, again, even though, you know, I want to be patient here before I start picking out stocks. But, you know, I think I might have mentioned it to you maybe a week ago that going forward, I'm just going to try to build a portfolio that I believe that it will perform pretty decent, hold up well in some volatility, give me some nice, you know, dividend returns. And so I'll be looking, you know, it was one sector I know we was talking about. I said I'm going to be curious to take a look at some energy stocks and trust, you know, within that sector, because I still believe that within the next year or two, we're going to be looking at some inflationary times. So, you know, that going forward, you know, I might want to be some type of hedge, a little bit in that, maybe some gold, you know, if they pull back nicely here, stuff like that.
Well, that sounds good. Do you have any last-minute thoughts? I'll wrap this up in a couple minutes.
The only thing I could – patience. I believe that's number one. And that's including myself and everybody that's listening. I believe have some patience here. Let the market get well oversold. You know, I've mentioned this a lot of times on the site that, you know, I love using the RSI indicator, and we're a little ways away from 30 on the RSI, but I believe we're going to see an oversold market to where you see the daily RSI indicator in the 30 range. And when we get there, it's time to start really, you know, seriously looking at the stocks and doing some buying. But that's about it.
Oh, well, thanks for taking your time to talk to everybody. And we'll be looking, you know, to do another podcast next week on Friday. My plan is to be releasing these by the close of Friday every week. So we'll be talking to everybody later. And have a good weekend.
Thanks, Mike, and thanks for having me.